Well, in the summer of 1896, Orville Wright got sick with typhoid fever. He would be confined to his bed for weeks, if not months. And so during this time, his brother, Wilbur, saw an opportunity, realized that there was an opportunity for a captive audience. Now, Wilbur was just completely taken by the idea that things could fly. He loved the idea that he saw birds that, you know, could just take off and soar through the air. It just grabbed his imagination, and he thought so much about what it took, the principles that it took for an animal like that to actually be able to take off. And so he started studying it and realizing that his brother really couldn't get away from him. He would take all these books and he would start reading them to his brother, who was confined to bed. All they could read about birds and stuff like this. And their father, for the time period at the end of 1800s, had a pretty good library. And so they would read all of these books and study them together. And eventually they just got so excited, and their imaginations were going so much with flight, with the idea of things flying, that they wrote a letter to the Smithsonian Institute. And they asked for every book that they could get on flight. And as they studied and studied, part of their obsession was thinking that maybe, just maybe, humans could one day fly. Now, listen, for us, I know this is a thought that most of us take for granted now, because thousands and thousands of people fly every single day, that this is just normal for us. Many of us, we've been in airplanes, we've flown, we maybe even didn't think that much about what we were doing. It's just, it's normal. It's happening every minute of every day for us. But this is in a culture where that had never happened before, where these ideas were kind of crazy, where most people would have looked at them as they thought about this and studied it and started talking about maybe, just maybe, we could figure out how humans could fly. People thought it was impossible. And they got this book that it's a French book that was called The Empire of the Air. And one of their biographers who's written about their journey and how they thought through being kind of the pioneers, some of the pioneers of modern flight and people being able to fly in airplanes and stuff like that, wrote that when they saw that book, when they read that book and studied it, they said it was like a prophet crying in the wilderness, exhorting the world to repent of its unbelief in the possibility of human flight. Isn't that an incredible statement? We read this book and we started thinking of these possibilities, and our imagination started going such to the point that we felt like it was almost a prophetic vision telling us that we need to turn away from believing that this is impossible. We need to turn away from just saying, ah, birds can fly, we never will, and to run towards something that nobody had ever done, something that nobody had proven was even doable. And they and others, through experiences like this, changed the world, changed how people travel, changed so much about how we think of aviation. Have you ever had a dream like that? Does it ever something like that capture you? Something that you think, man, some people think would be impossible. This dream that's just huge, that would look so different. Maybe something that you've never done before, or nobody in your family has ever done before. Something that just seems so big, but it catches your imagination. You know what I think is a little bit sad is that for some of us, the last time that happened, we were children. You know, we had dreams of being big movie stars, or making the major leagues, or becoming the president of some big company. When we were kids, you know, you let your imagination run wild. You think of all these things and you picture yourself doing them. And some of us, the reality is we've gone through life and we've got some experience, and maybe we've been shot down from a few things. Maybe we've experienced some failure. Maybe there's times where it's just, life has proven to us that some of those goals that we had were impossible and not realistic. And some of us, sometimes we're just getting caught in the monotonous repetition of every day, just doing the things that we do without even really thinking about what our dreams are anymore. And that's a little bit about what this series is all about that we're starting today, your dream destination, because all of us are going somewhere. We all have a direction. We're all moving somewhere in life. We're all going somewhere. But where are we going? Where are you going? Where do the things that you do day in and day out take you? What direction is that? Do you have a dream for where you'll end up? Do you have a vision about what your future could look like? Where you could be, what you could do? That's what we want to talk about. And today we want to talk about a little bit about defining that that dream and just thinking a little bit about what that dream might be and where we might be headed. Now, I know right up front, there's some objections with that that we probably want to deal with. One of them is that you might say, and I sort of alluded to it already, is that it's great to have dreams. It's great to think of things that people think are impossible, but then life happens. We realize that there's roadblocks. We realize that sometimes life throws us a curve. We realize sometimes that we're headed in a direction and all of a sudden we just can't keep going. Or unexpected things happen and push us way off course and we say, I wanted to go in that direction. I wanted to end up there. That was my dream. But life had other things for me. And I got pushed through no fault of my own into a completely different kind of life. And don't you kind of wish that life was a little bit like your map app on your phone? Right? Don't you wish that you could just pull a map app out of your pocket and put in your current location and then your desired destination and you wait like half a second or less and all of a sudden this blue line comes up and it just shows you the easiest way to go from where you are to where you want to be? Wouldn't that be amazing? Take a left here. Take this opportunity. Say no to that one. Marry this person. Take that job. Work hard at this. Put your money here. And if you do all these things, you'll go from here to there and you'll get there. But some of us, we just go, that's not the way it's worked in my life. But wouldn't it be cool? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you could type in a loving, tight-knit family? You know, if you're raising kids right now, and today we have a parent-child dedication before we're done today, and this is one of the things we prize most. If you've got kids or young kids, wouldn't you love to put in a loving, tight-knit family? I would love to have kids who grow up and they become independent and they become honest and they become loving and they love their parents and respect their parents. That would just be, imagine you could type that in. It just says, great, here's how you get there. What about a fulfilling and rewarding career? If you just type that in, I want to have a fulfilling and rewarding, I want to do something that is not just a paycheck, but has a nice paycheck. I'd love to do something that helps people and makes me feel like I'm glad I'm doing it and I'd be able to figure out how to choose that and execute it. Wouldn't you love some of us to type in, I'd love to have a legacy of providing for people in need. I'd love to look back at the end of my life and say, man, I was able to help people that had needs. I was able to fulfill those needs and do something that really meant something in my community or with my friends, family members, even strangers. Wouldn't you love to be able to type in a strong and happy marriage and just have the route come up? There it is. Just follow these steps. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or accomplishing meaningful goals, hitting financial freedom. Oh man, if I just type in a couple of things and I could be financially independent, I could be out of debt, I could have some savings, I could be set for retirement. Man, just tell me how to do that. Type it in. Tell me where to go. Or even to be extraordinarily generous. Maybe even beyond that, to say, how do I get to a place where I could use my resources for other people and I was free to do it because of how I dealt with my money? And we would love just to plug in where we're at and where we want to go. And then be shown the easiest route. Wouldn't that be great? But we all know life's a little bit more complicated than that. We all know that as much as we might plan, that things happen that we didn't expect, and we go in directions that maybe we didn't choose to, or sometimes we choose to go in a direction that we only realized later wasn't where we want to go, and we get lost. Well, in this series, we are going to talk about five principles that I believe will help us take us from where we are to where we want to go, to help us move in the direction of our dreams and accomplish some of the things that I think God has put on our heart. And for those of us who would right up at the front go, I don't know. I mean, life just doesn't work that way. It's not that easy. I agree with you. Life gets complicated. There will be curveballs. There will be things that happen. But just like your map app, if you're on a road trip, if you were following the app and you got to a place where the road was closed, where there was construction, you had to go a different way. Or if you had taken a wrong turn and you found yourself lost in some place that you didn't expect you would be, then it's really then, more than ever, that you need your map, isn't it? To figure out, how do I get back on track? How do I move around this? How do I find a different route? How do I recalibrate myself? And so we're going to talk through five different principles that I believe are behaviors that are predictable behaviors that help us move from where we are to where we want to be. That over time, again, life happens and unexpected things happen, but over time, principles that I believe help us achieve predictable results even through unpredictable circumstances. And in the scripture, when we're talking about that kind of thing and you're reading through it, it's what we call wisdom. There's a number of books in the Bible that are called wisdom literature, and they're this teaching that is super ultra practical that teaches us how we can set our behavior in life in order to get certain results. And that most of the time, over time, not always instantly and not always every little tiny thing, but over time, as you practice these behaviors, as you follow the wisdom that many of us believe is the wisdom of God given to us, that there are predictable results. And even when we end up lost or at a roadblock or in an accident, that these wise principles help us move around those things and towards the kind of future that I believe God wants for us. And so today we start with dreams, and I want to start talking about dreams and the things that, we think of in terms of our future, kind of that picture that you might have for where you're going to be in the future, whatever phase of life you're at now. And the reason that I want to do that and start there is because what I believe is if you don't have a dream, you won't have direction. That if you don't know where you're going, that if you don't have a picture of what you would like things to look like, if you don't have a destination, that it becomes extremely hard to know which direction to go. And many of us, unfortunately, live life. We don't start here, and we don't really think about our dream destination. We don't think about where we're going. We're just trying to get through today. We're trying to make decisions that will help us in the short term. And today I want to start by saying, if you don't have a dream, if you don't start with this vision for a future, a vision of something that isn't yet in reality but could be, then you're never going to have direction. You're not going to know which way to go, what decisions to make, and how to get there. I'll tell you where I get this principle, and it starts in Proverbs. You can turn there if you have a Bible and want to follow along, or an app on your phone, Proverbs 29. And through this series, we're going to be talking a lot about Proverbs. And again, they're found in the wisdom literature of the Bible. If you're looking for it now, somewhere in the middle of your Bible. And in Proverbs, the beauty of Proverbs is you don't have to read pages and pages and pages of material to get the point. Proverbs is filled with these short, pithy, really practical instructions for how to live. That oftentimes you can take one of them, just a couple of lines, and if you really mine into it and look at it, you can take it in, and it can do wonders in terms of changing your life. And that's what wisdom is. See, wisdom is more than knowledge. Sometimes we think that in life, all we need is more knowledge. We need more facts. We live in such a culture of information. And information is really important. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I parent? You know, there's a million books on parenting children, and there's all kinds of different ways to do it, and people have written different things. How do I pursue a certain career? You can find entire sections at bookstores that will talk about business and how to pursue this or that and how to get better at this. There's so much information on the decision-making that we have in our world. But what wisdom is all about is not just knowledge, it's taking knowledge further. It's taking knowledge and adding behavior. Wisdom, I would put it like this in the scriptures, is making good decisions that take our lives in a positive direction. It's not just knowing where to go, it's being able to take practical steps and to move your behavior to align with where you want to go. Wisdom makes us good at life. It makes us street smart. Wisdom is just ultra and super practical, which is why I'm really excited for this series. As we just look at some stuff where it'll be one thing if you just take the information, but the transformative power is in if we allow God to use this information to change our hearts, and then, as a result, to change our behavior in order to follow Him more closely into a future that He has for us. So Proverbs 29, verse 18, and what I've just said, if you don't have a dream, you won't have direction, comes straight from this short proverb. It says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. So let's kind of drill down on this a little bit and talk about some of the important words. We'll start with that word, unrestrained. Unrestrained. So this is what happens. If you don't have a vision, then people tend to become unrestrained. Unrestrained in this context means things like to run wild, to let loose, or to lack control, have a lack of control. So think of it this way. If you have really long hair, you might understand it this way, and maybe a few more women would identify with this a little better than we would men. But if you have long hair and you're going to something really fancy, maybe you're a bridesmaid or a bride in a wedding, something like that, and you want to do your hair really good, so you do your hair up. And so, you know, you go for hours and hours and hours, and they make sure that every single hair is in place, right? And they put the pins in it and then different things that hold it there and the spray and whatever else. And then you just make sure that everything is tight, everything is controlled, everything is as it is supposed to be. And you hope that it lasts the whole day, right? We're trying to control this thing so that it looks a certain way. Unrestrained is a picture of when you get to the end of the day and you just go poof, and let it all go. Hair everywhere, just wherever it goes. We're done. We're just no more control, no more pins, no more hairs. Just bam, whatever happens, happens. It just, you know, we let ourselves run wild, let loose. No more control, no more holding things together. Just let things go. And in Proverbs, they say, when you have no vision, this is what your life tends to be like. We run wild. We let loose. We have a lack of control. So what does that look like? I'll tell you a few things that if we kind of took this word and we worked it over a couple of different ways that we could translate it or fill it out, we might say this. People who are unrestrained are indecisive. Think about this for a second. How do you know what to do if you don't know where you're headed? Many of us, we live in this space. We're indecisive about almost anything. And we're trying to figure out how to make decisions, and we see lots of options, and we live in a culture where many of us, we have tons of freedom to choose what we want to do. But as a result, some of us, we're so indecisive, we have a hard time making a decision. And if you don't know where you're going, of course you do. If you don't know big picture where you're headed, how do you decide small picture what decisions to make? This is just like back at the map app. If you get in your car and you don't know where you're going, you just start driving. When you get to an intersection or a fork in the road and you go, which way should I go? If you don't have a destination in mind, well, who knows? Flip a coin. Left is as good as right. Straight, behind us, turn around. What does it matter? We're not headed anywhere. I don't know where to go. And some of us, we're a little bit stalled in life. We're indecisive. You know, we're trying to figure out all kinds of things, and we think decision-making is so difficult, partially because I think we haven't thought through where we're going. We don't know where the destination is. Well, how could I possibly choose what program to enter in university, where to go to university? How am I supposed to choose what kind of career to pursue or the kind of things to do in the career? What am I supposed to do today to make my marriage better, healthier, happier? How do I really parent my children? There's a million books and a million different ways of doing it, and everybody's got an opinion. How could I possibly come up with one? How do I know what to choose? The beautiful thing is goals, destinations help us figure out how we make decisions on the everyday basis. Sometimes we're unrestrained or we're indecisive because we don't know where we're going. So, of course, how could we figure out which way to turn? The second one is undisciplined. Some of us are just undisciplined. When you're unrestrained, you're undisciplined. And there's probably a moral character that's spoken of here in this proverb, that we're unrestrained, that we just can't keep ourselves together, and we do things that we probably shouldn't do, and we don't do things that we wish we had it done or we know would have been healthy for us. Sometimes we're undisciplined because goals help us define our behavior. That our decisions day in and day out don't seem to matter that much, again, when we don't really have a clear picture of where we're going. And so we compromise, or we do things that aren't healthy, maybe because we don't think that they make that big of a difference. You know, on a small scale, it's kind of like, you know, choosing your diet. You go, well, how could I possibly, how am I going to choose how to eat, what not to eat, what to have for lunch, how much to eat, all these kind of things. I mean, if in your mind you say, I want to be the kind of person that's fit. One day I want to run a marathon. I envision a future where I'm fit enough to run that far. It would be so great. I'd have more energy, and I could do all kinds of things that I can't do now, all this kind of stuff. When you have that goal in mind, then when you sit down to lunch, all of a sudden your decision-making process is different. That you realize that then if I choose day in and day out fast food for lunch, that's going to affect my ability to get to my destination. That all of a sudden you realize your discipline is going to help you or hurt you in your direction and where you're going, in your destination. That if I want to get there, I need to do certain things and not do other things. Goals help define our behavior. Our vision or our destination of what we want our life to look like is then going to help us decide, oh yeah, this is what I need to do now. I need to bring myself into control instead of being unrestrained. I need to have some discipline because I know the discipline will lead me to where I want to go. And this is a little bit sad, but I think some of us would, if we're honest, probably agree that sometimes it leads to wastefulness. We waste energy, we waste money, we waste time. And sometimes we look at our lives and we say, man, I wasted so much time on that. Why was I doing that? Or you try to think through where you put your money, and you just feel like, man, I just waste so much money. Where does it even go? And part of it is, without vision, without direction, without that goal in mind, we lack direction. And so we end up wasting time, energy, resources, money. Instead of putting it all together and putting us in the direction of our goals, we make decisions wherever, because it's not clear to us where we're going or how we're going to get there. Where people have no vision, people are unrestrained. Or in other words, if you don't have a dream, you won't have direction. You're probably going to find yourself being pretty indecisive and undisciplined and maybe even wasteful. And nobody wants to be there. So the flip side is, well, vision. What are we talking about when we're talking about vision? Let me make this clear. I'm not talking about like a vision statement. Okay, so 20 or 30 years ago, there's a lot of churches that read this verse and said, every church has to have a vision statement. Just like, you know, we also do that in the business world, right? That's become popular. Everybody says, we have to have a vision statement, and that's going to be clear about who the organization is and where we're going. And so some churches read this and said, oh, this is about having a vision statement. It's a really good business practice. It's something we should do. As churches, I think it's something we do and we have done. But it's more than that. That's not exactly what we're talking about. That's probably one of the fruits of going through this process, but it's more than that what's talked about here. And it's also not just a selfish version of your future. So if you're sitting here and going, oh, this is cool. Dave's going to teach us how to get a bigger house and have more money or drive a fancier car. To be honest with you, I think the principles we'll learn in this series actually probably would help you toward those goals if those were your goals. But I hope you'll think bigger. I hope your vision will be more than that. What we're talking about when we're talking about vision, the word that's used here, it's a specific word in the Hebrew where it's written in, is a compelling, God-shaped picture of the future. Okay, when they use this word, this is actually a specific word that means a prophetic vision. So in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, just like a bunch of other nations, they had these prophets. They had people that would come from time to time, and they would preach, and they would call people to a certain way of living that were called the prophets. And this is a specific word that talks about that kind of prophetic vision, the kind of prophetic vision that you would get from a prophet. Now, when I talk about prophet, don't think psychic. Sometimes we do that. We open the Bible, we go to the prophets, and we think, oh, they're just going to tell us the future. So we go, oh, this would be cool. Maybe I'll just pray and God will tell me who I'm going to get married to and what kind of house I'm going to live in and what my job will be and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. And that wasn't the job of prophets. Prophets called people back to a certain way of living. And what they would do is they would give people a picture of the future, often two pictures of the future. If you live this way, this is where you're headed and this is what your future is going to look like. But if you live this way, this is what your future can look like. And this is the future God wants for you. And they would call people to abandon a direction that would lead them to a destination they didn't want to be in. And they would call them back to a relationship with God that would put them and recalibrate them back on a direction that would lead them to where God wanted them to be. And they would paint often a picture to say, and this was what it would look like. This is what God's going to do. This is what you can expect from him. This is where he's going to intervene. And if you would come back into this relationship, here's what you can expect. This is powerful, powerful prophetic vision. Not a psychic thing, but a call back to relationship. We actually see it in this verse, the second part of the verse, back in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy, or another way to translate that word, blessed, is he who keeps the law. And when you read that, don't think law like just a rule or a bunch of rules. This is the Hebrew word Torah. For the Israelite people, Torah is not just some laws, it's the Pentateuch. It's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And it is the framework, the outline, and the stories that undergird their relationship with God. And so in Proverbs it says, so here's the flip side. You have no vision. Probably means your life is going to be unrestrained, out of control. But you're going to be blessed or happy if you keep the law, if you come back to the relationship that God wants to have with you, because God has a future for you. So come back to living that way. That's what the Proverbs is saying. It's not saying, hey, where you get a vision, like you just, you know, you're waiting for God to give you some kind of wild spiritual experience that's crazy. And what's this call to say, come back and live the way that God has called you to live. And in the Old Testament, again, they would have these periods where prophets would come and prophets would speak on behalf of God, calling people back to that kind of relationship, back to that kind of life. And one of the prophets, Joel, he said this, it's anticipating the kind of future that God had in mind for his people. He said, acknowledging that, you know, they waited for prophets to speak on behalf of God. He said this, though, and this is on behalf of God and God's word, God's words. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. He foresaw this time where it wouldn't just be these, you know, certain spiritual people that would get this connection with God's spirit, but he saw this time when people would be able to access God's presence and God's spirit in a different way, a time where he would fill people with visions, with dreams, with God-shaped picture of the future and what it could look like. And I think he was talking about the time that Jesus would inaugurate, where he would then not just teach, but be crucified, be resurrected. And he told his disciples, and now I'm going to leave with you my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit's going to lead you and guide you, comfort you and encourage you. You will have God's presence with you in this form, not just in some building somewhere, but he's going to go out with you and he will inspire you to a God-shaped future. That there is this great dream that God wants you to dream about what living the way he's called you to live is like and how it could lead you. So we talk about this series and we're talking about dreaming dreams and visions. I'm not just saying, hey, sit in your room and think about being rich or famous or whatever. I'm talking about catching a vision of what God might place on your heart, a God-shaped future of how you could be part of what he's doing in this world. God's vision for our lives will inspire us to be part of what he's doing in our world. That's partially how you know whether it's just your idea or God's idea. It's partially how you know if it's God's vision for your life is when you get drawn into, sucked up into what he's doing in your life. When your picture of the future includes how God can use you to shower his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy and his righteousness and his goodness into the world around you. How you can infuse the everyday, ordinary life that you live with God's presence. That's how you start to know that your vision isn't just one that you've come up with, but one that God's put inside you. And again, I believe even if you're not a Christian, I think some of these practical wisdom statements will really help you move towards you want to go. But my hope is that where you want to go, you'll understand that where you want to go, the vision and the dream that you have for your life is a God-shaped vision of your future, of the future of this world, of the future of our community. And, you know, we're inspired by this kind of stuff, aren't we? We can even look in recent history and see people that did this, that we honor, that we respect, that we are so thankful for, because as a result, they've changed the world around them. They've changed us. We think of people like Martin Luther King, right? Probably one of the most famous speeches that we have in the Western world in recent history. It was just the right time and the right people and the right words, but he stood up in the political climate, the social climate of his day, and he dreamed a dream for people, and he called people to a dream. He even used the word just so powerful. Could you imagine? He said, I have a dream, and he started dreaming about a world and a culture where his kids would be treated equally, where other people's kids would be treated equally. He had this dream that places that were completely fraught with injustice would embrace justice for people who don't have it. They had a dream that things would drastically change in his country, and he called people to it. And we look at that and we say that's one of the most inspiring speeches that we can think of in recent history, because he saw this vision of a future, almost like a prophet speaking to people saying, think of what could be. Don't we want to pursue this? Don't we want to go towards it? People, rise up. Because there's a better future out there. We've seen people like that change the world, inspire other people, have dreams overlap with other people's dreams, and be brought up under God's dream, I believe, for what our world could look like, for what our communities could look like, for what our families could look like. And another example is the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, just really quickly. He says this. He says about his life and his mission as he goes to plant churches and start a very dangerous mission. He says, and now I am bound up by the Spirit. I love this, because remember what we just read? We just read that people who have no vision are unrestrained. This is the opposite. And this doesn't mean that he's restricted. I don't believe it means that it means he has no choice or no freedom. It's the opposite, though. It means I'm bound by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. My life has been brought into focus by the vision that God has given me for my life. This is now the controlling factor. This is what keeps me diligent. This is what gives me a decisive pattern of mind. This is what helps me stay disciplined. This is what helps me not be wasteful. This is what now guides my life. I'm bound by the Spirit. I'm not just unrestrained. I've got a purpose. And he says, to go to Jerusalem, I don't know what awaits me. We'll talk about this in 1 second, because a lot of us, we hear what I'm saying today, and you go, yeah, but I have no idea where I'm going. So hold on for a second. I don't know what awaits me, except this. The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But the vision is bigger. The vision is more important. I'm willing to do hard things. But my life, verse 24, is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of Jesus. God had so changed his life by his grace that Paul said, nothing else matters. That sets the directory of my life. I see a world in which the grace of God told to everybody changes the trajectory of the world. And guess what? Today you and I are recipients of that dream, of that vision. You're sitting here and you're a follower of Christ. If you're a beneficiary of the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the grace of Christ, you're a beneficiary of this dream. And Paul's saying, that is worth following, even though I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know I'm probably going to be put in jail. I'm probably going to be beaten. I'm going to be persecuted. I might be killed. But I see a world in which God's grace transforms entire cultures, entire people, the entire world. Powerful vision. I'm bound by the Spirit. That's what gives me a focus in life, sets my direction, because I've got a destination, because I know where I'm going. Let me ask you this. What's your dream? What's your dream for your marriage? What do you want it to look like? What's your dream for your family? What's your dream for the impact you want to have on people in our city? What's your dream for helping people who are needy all around you? What's your dream for relationships? What's your dream for how you act in your job and what you actually do? Not just the numbers and figures and the paycheck, but what's your dream? What do you want to do? Where do you want to get to? I want you to think about that, because if you don't have a dream, you're not going to have direction. You're going to find it very hard to make decisions or be disciplined. Or be a good steward of the resources that you have. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a dream, you're just not going to have direction. But if you'll allow God's Spirit to give you a God-shaped vision of the future, I believe, and we're going to go over this the next 4 weeks after today, that there are principles that we can put in place that will help us move towards a dream God has put on our heart. So here's what I want you to do. Define your dream. This week, take some time. If you're a follower of Christ, take some time to prayerfully consider this. Not just think about it, but ask God about where he might be leading you. I want you to talk about this in your life groups. Share with other people. What do you dream about? What do you hope for? What do you want for your life and your family and your marriage and this community and our church and the world? What are the things that get you going? Imagine them. Let your mind go to them and picture what it would look like to live in that reality. Write it down. Be specific. Don't let it just kind of waft out of your mind, but write some of those things down. Draw them. If you're not kind of that analytical, write it down person, maybe you're an artistic person, just draw a picture, a literal picture of what it might look like to live out your dream, to get there one day. Couple of caveats. I've said this a couple of times, but one of them is this. I believe that these principles will ring true whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, whether you're following Jesus or not. Either way, I hope you'll follow through each week in this series, and it'll be really helpful for you. But I hope you'll also hear in this very clearly that I think God-shaped visions of our future are the very best, and that he wants the very best for you, and that can be a reality for you. And so I hope as you consider the very practical elements of this, you'll also think about whether or not there's actually a God who loves you enough to care about the direction and the destination of your life. And then secondly, this, it's not about having everything figured out. I get it. Some of you might be listening to this and you go, but I have no idea where I'm going. I'm not sure where I want to be. And what I'm not saying is that you should sit down in a corner, you should pray about this and come up and say, my vision is to be the vice president of sales in such and such a company by such and such a year. That's, we know that's not really how life works and how things happen. And we all know that things will move and change, and the specifics of exactly where you're going, it will probably look different at different phases of your life, and sometimes you'll change your direction a little bit. But what I'm encouraging you to do is get a big picture of where you're going. And along the way, as that sets your direction, you'll be able to tinker with that much more easily if you know some of the big picture stuff that God might be calling you to. So here's a couple of things, especially if you struggle with it, a couple of questions that I would encourage you to ask yourself and to do it in community. Where do we even start? How do we even start defining a dream or where we're going to go? Start with this. What are you passionate about? What has God already put inside of you that you are fired up for? What are the things you're interested in? What are the things you love to study? What are the things you love to do? How are you wired and what things line up with your personality and who you are? What are you already passionate about? That's probably a good clue. For some of us, this question is, who are you passionate about? And the answer is a who. It's your marriage. It's your spouse. It's your children and what you long for them. Who are you passionate about? Maybe it's the relationships you have with people. Maybe it's people that you want to reach, your neighbors, your friends, your family members that you want to be able to share Jesus Christ with. What are you passionate about? Who are you passionate about? Start with that. And then secondly, add this. Where are their needs? As you start to work through the passions in your life and what you're really interested in and what you're gifted in, where are their needs? Because I think when you combine these two questions, you'll find that God is providing you opportunities to take how he's wired you and what he's created you to do and to match it with where there's needs in the world. And to say, my dream isn't just about me. My dream is a God-shaped dream. The way Jesus said was, seek first the kingdom of God, find the needs of the people, and go feed them, care for them, love them, forgive them. Make your dream part of a much bigger dream. So what are you passionate about? Ask yourself. And where are their needs? And how can you link those two things to make it work? And I think as that happens, I'm not saying you're going to get pinpoint accuracy exactly where you're going to be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But I think you'll start to have a good picture. The kind of future that God might be calling you to, and set a direction that you will tweak over time, but that will set you towards a destination of a God-shaped future and what he has for us. The book of Luke is this book about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, the story of that and how people followed him. And sometimes, you know, when we read about Jesus, if you're a Christian, especially been around a long time, one of the things that most Christians believe is that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is God. And sometimes we jump to that really quickly, though I think that's true. I believe that that's true. But we jump to that quickly and we sort of miss the part that Jesus is human and that Jesus lived like we live with our challenges and with a life very much like ours, in other ways different. But in his humanness, we often see him showing us what it would look like to have this deep relationship with God, this deep trusting relationship with God that would set our trajectory of our lives. And I love how Luke puts this, because in the first 8 or 9 chapters, he starts talking about this is Jesus, and he's working all around this region, and he's healing people, and he's teaching people, and he's calling people to follow him, and he's getting a bit of a following. And then there's this amazing verse in Luke 9:51 that says this, as the time drew near for him, Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Literally, it means Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He's been all over. He's been in the region. He's been teaching and whatever. And all of a sudden now, this is the pivot of the book, and we see this human Jesus going, now all of my focus, all of my attention, all of my resources, he sets his face. He resolutely sets his life towards Jerusalem. And it's important because Jerusalem is where he'll be opposed. Jerusalem is where he'll be arrested. Jerusalem is where he'll be beaten. And Jerusalem is where he will be crucified. And Jerusalem is where on the cross he will cry out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. In Jerusalem is where he will be when he lavishes the most extravagant picture and display of love that God would ever show, is him on the cross dying for his people. And in that moment, pleading for their forgiveness, lavishing mercy upon them. He set his face towards the opposition. He set his face towards the struggle. He set his face towards a compelling vision of the future whereby God would change the entire world for all of human history. And he'd be willing to go step by step along the way Because he saw the destination. Because he believed in the vision. That in this self-sacrificing love, God would change the world. That God would lavish his grace and mercy and forgiveness upon all people and all cultures. And as he set his face to that destination, it gave him the direction to go. And as he did, he called his followers to join the dream, God's dream, and to follow him in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is an amazing thing that Jesus has done for us, one that we cannot do perfectly, one that we need all of your help. But God, we thank you that you have called us to follow Jesus and in many ways to do what he has done. I pray that you would give us dreams, that you would give us visions of the future that are your visions, not just our own, that you would inspire in us what the world could look like, what our communities could look like, what our families could look like as we follow you. And God, give us courage to allow that destination to set our direction in life. Thank you that you've not only showed us that, but you've demonstrated it through Jesus Christ and given us your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.